This week on Bropostles, a lot of sex talk on. So this one might not be for the kids. If there's kids in the car, you might want to.
We don't have sex. One.
No, we don't. No, not us. Not happy Pride Month, but not us together. A lot of questions involving the procreative and unitive act known as boinking.
Sex.
So as two married individuals that are married
to other women, not each other,
not other women. We're married to women, two separate women. And we have obviously a lot of experience in this realm. And so we're happy to, and then also we have some other questions like, what if your friend is stinky? What do you do? And then what if a roommate of yours doesn't pay the bills, even though he is a full adult with a salary? All this and more on this week's episode of Bropostles.
Welcome to Bropostles episode 8, the comedy advice show for Catholics who take their faith seriously, but not themselves. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. And I'm Zen. I'm
You're
relaxed.
Zen. You're yes. Not worried about a thing.
I'm not. Baby, don't worry about a thing. Because every little thing, every little ting is going to be all right.
Everything going to be irie.
I'm so chill that I don't even need the H in the word thing. Everything is going to be irie. Baby.
Let me hear that Batman sound.
My dad went on a mission trip to Jamaica, and they were building a school or something. I don't know. They went to build something in Jamaica, and after getting everything stolen from him, he went to the church that they were building or whatever school they were building, and he was like painting. He was like doing a mural thing or whatever because my dad's a sign painter, and the people in the village. My dad is very red. He's a red guy.
He is a red man.
They called him Redmon. my dad is a colored person. I mean that in the most like literal way. He's just a red guy. His skin is over. You see, in the 70s, they used a lot of aerosol, and there was a hole in the ozone layer, and he went surfing every day instead of going to trigonometry. And he got a bunch of skin cancer. Like everyone did in Satellite Beach in 1980. And so he's a permanently red. That's the thing you got to know about my father. And the Jamaicans couldn't get enough of it. They loved it.
Oh, they loved it. He does look like an exposed coil to a heat lamp.
Correct.
That got out. You know?
Yeah, he really, it's an interesting feature of my dad. I mean, growing up, I was like, that's just what dads look like. Because my grandfather kind of looked that way too. He was also kind of a red mon, but my dad more so. And perhaps me, probably not though. I'm not like out in the Florida sun installing signs, you know?
We finally get an answer to the question posed in the hit Disney film, Peter Pan, what makes the red man red?
It's the hole in the ozone layer.
Yeah.
What it was. Glad they fixed that. Glad they patched it up.
I don't know how they resolved that because it seemed to be a big issue. It doesn't seem one that you could just simply fix, in my opinion.
Yeah, because from what I understand, you can't make more ozone.
No zone.
That's where
we can make more of.
By the way, he lived in the. True. Do you remember
Thank
that?
Goodness. That's a little Rayquaza fact for those.
They probably
of you out
there. Used Rayquaza to help help patch up the hole in the old frozone layer.
Speaking of Rayquaza, we get lots of questions from hopeless young men on this podcast, and we're here to answer them on quests.
On quests, yeah.
To accomplish things. And this is a comedy advice show. If you've never listened to our podcast before, we answer questions that people write in. You can write a question in yourself on Discord, bropostles.com/discord.
Yes. But before we get into that, make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast.
We're booming
on
YouTube.
We really
Patrick.
Are. My little video about reacting to people's comments. First of all,
it went
super
viral.
Super low effort to put together.
Video of Catholic apologist on X goes viral as he answers the top Protestant objections to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
You know, in 2012, if a video about Mary got 1,000 views, Church Pop would write some article about how it was viral.
Goes viral.
Man, we're really in the minor leagues Catholic content creation in general. Until recently, we've been popping. Bishop Barron's at 1 million. A lot of Catholics are at a million subscribers.
People are mad about Bishop Barron on Tucker. We should talk about that interview on our bonus show that we do on
Patreon. I need to watch it first. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, let's watch it and bring some thoughts to the bonus.
I'm excited. It's cool that Catholic Church people need to be in the mainstream, and right now there's nothing more mainstream than podcasts like that. It's funny to watch people get all bent out of shape about Bishop Barron going on podcasts, even though like a week ago, you know, Trump won the election because he went on podcasts. So why aren't we going on podcasts? It's just silly.
It's a good question. I don't know.
Anyway,
let's answer. Speaking of good questions.
Yes.
Let's take some questions from our audience. Patrick, do you want to go and read the first one here? I'm vamping.
Yes.
You've got it ready. You have it pulled up.
Bro Apostle advice question about making friends in a hopeless place. This one comes from Pope Jared. Hello. I could use some advice from the pod. My wife and I married 3 months. I asked her out because Ethan and Pat told me to.
Let's go.
Another family that we've created. We're moving far away. We used to live in Kentucky and we're moving to Provo, Utah for a year due to my wife's doctoral internship. I love the LDS, but we obviously want more Catholic friends. Because the Mormons, they're polyplatonic. They'll have multiple friends, and you don't know if, you know, you're the main friend. It's always weird. There is only one church in the Catholic church in the entire city, so I'm worried if things are going to suck or not. If the church does suck, what are some ways we can meet fellow Catholics in a place where they make up less than 1% of the population? We're both coming from a place where almost all of our friends shared our faith, and so we're a little worried about the transition. What do you think, Ethan? How can people make friends in a hopeless place, in a Mormon place?
You're moving to wife's doctoral internship. What is she getting a doctorate in? Polygamy?
Skiing.
Yeah, polygamy. Something like that.
Magic underwear?
Why do you live in Kentucky? Everything about this is messed up. But overall, I just want to say I'm glad that you're getting married because of what we said. And to be honest, you're welcome.
They are married.
I'm glad you got married because of what we said. There's got to be some. You just have to find the right parish. I think for something like this, there's probably some group when Catholics are such a small percentage, everybody knows each other. Everybody's working together because they know that they're small. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of have to be very open, you know,
almost easier, I would imagine.
Yes. Yeah. Like you just have to go and just kind of look around and just say, hey, we're new to the area. Where should we go to get involved? People love to answer that question because boomers love it when people like to get involved. Just say, where should I get involved? Where's the other young families? And there's probably a parish where they're all centralized. So
it sounds like there's only one church, so it makes it even easier.
Exactly.
My main advice, this goes for everybody, by the way. If you're trying to make friends in a new place or even a place you've been for a while, and you're not going to the same mass every week, you're messing up.
Yes.
You got to go to the same church, same mass every week for like 3 months.
Yep.
And just people will notice you. They'll notice you multiple times because your kid will yell something, or like you'll walk in front of them and they'll notice you first time. And then it takes about six or so times for someone to notice you until they actually walk up to you and talk to you. Someone will probably walk up to you and talk to you. If it's at my parish, it's my wife. My wife is surprisingly more extroverted and out there with people at mass than I am.
Really?
I mostly just stick to my friends. Yeah. Because like the people that I'm talking to, I've known my entire life.
True.
Like, I'll talk to Zach.
True.
You know,
that's a good point.
And in Melbourne, I have my people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, in our recent move, we committed to the 9 a.m. We're going to the 9 a.m. every week.
Yeah, man.
It's the one with the donuts. It's the one where all the families with kids are at. It's the way to go. I have an idea. I mean, I know you want Catholic friends, but could you pretend to be Mormon? This only works if you're white. Pretend to be Mormon. Get plugged into like the ultimate frisbee league or whatever it is that they do for fun over there. And then you can have friends. You just might have to live a lie for a while, but eventually they become such good friends. And you're so good at doing that, like underhand reverse throw, you know, down the sideline, that they're like, well, we can't We can't kick Jared out of the, frisbee league. Even if he's Catholic,
so bad.
You're bad at ultimate frisbee.
I'm bad at frisbee. Like, it's embarrassing.
And when then you add running into the mix, and Patrick's like, "This is not for me."
Absolutely not. Yeah. I'm not about those short sprints. I'm more of an endurance guy. That's also bad at endurance. But the just something about the frisbee just doesn't. Tossing a ball,
yeah,
catching that, yeah, easy. You don't frisbee like, can't do it.
You don't like a disc. That's something that I've known about you for a long time.
A long time. It's a disc. Yeah, not a big fan of it. The personality assessment, the world, disc world, record player. Not about it. I'm a strictly streaming electronic guy.
I don't know. I don't have any specific advice because this Provo is such an odd city to have to move to for a doctoral internship. It's not even a thesis. I'm curious what she's interning for, and I'm curious why. Because if somebody said to me, "Hey, in order to complete your doctoral thesis, you have to move to Provo," I'd say, "Thanks for the laughs. I'm good. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna stay in Kentucky.
I imagine it's a resident.
Oh, you think she's an actual doctor?
An actual doctor. I figured that was what it was. Doctoral
internship.
Internship. No. Now that he would have said residency, doctor people love.
There's only one church in the entire city. Oh, I missed that part at the beginning. There's only one church. Oh, just go there. It doesn't matter if it sucks. You just have to go.
That's what I'm saying. Go there. Go to the same mass.
And then meet people. What are some ways we can meet fellow Catholics? Have kids stand in the back. Stick around afterwards. Look for people. This is actually the hack. Look for people who look to be about the same station in life as you. Every time you go to the church, scan it. Look and say, okay, these people are about my age, and then just go up to them afterwards and say, "Hey, we're about the same age. We were born about the." You probably also played Lego Star Wars on the PlayStation 2. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
My name is Jared, and this is my beautiful.
I used to main Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know,
yes,
that was my for the free play. What did you use? Who did you play?
I would main Jango Fett because he could fly.
Good call.
What else is there to say? Find people who are your age, share a common cultural experience. Yoda's great.
He moved fun. He would like flip around and stuff.
Yeah. I like Jar Jar. Jar Jar jumped pretty tall. I like Jar Jar jump.
He jumped really tall. The hack for making friends, again, I cannot stress this enough. Go to the same mass time. Especially when you're young and you don't have kids and you sleep in a lot. You're like, "Oh, we missed the 9, let's go to the 10. Oh, we missed the 10, let's go to the 11. Oh, I missed the 11, let's go to the 5 p.m. You know,
yeah.
Don't go to the 5 p.m. It's all single dudes, as we mentioned. Did you see that in our Discord? I made that joke a couple weeks ago about how like single dudes are all at the 5 p.m. evening mass. And someone was like, "I listened to you say that while I was in the car after 5 p.m. evening mass."
Owned.
So yeah, it's all the single guys go to 5 p.m. evening.
Yes.
So the 9, that time is great, especially if you want to meet young families. If you don't have kids, you don't know this yet. 9 a.m. is great for nap time. The kids are woken up. They're good. Nap time isn't really until, you know,
a little bit after
10 or 11. We have to push it a little bit because Josie wakes up early and has to nap at 9.
Henry naps during the 9 a.m. mass. So Emma has to like put him in the baby carrier, bounce him around.
Yeah.
By the time the homily gets there, he's conked.
He's conked out. That's good. So yeah, if you want to meet young families, go there. And then eventually when you have kids, you'll pretty much meet them pretty easily because the kids, when they get older, they hang out with each other because kids are instant friends. Like, you're the same height as me. Let's go play. And then after that, it doesn't really matter if you're the same age. Like, some of my friends are in their mid 40s because they have a kid that's Leo's age.
Right.
You know, they have teenagers, but they have kids Leo's age.
Yeah. My suggestion would be to quit the doctoral thesis and move back to Kentucky where you are happy.
move back to South Cincinnati and you'll be fine.
Listen. All right. Next question.
All right, next question.
Oh boy, controversial.
Cohabitation. I have a fun question that was in my DMs actually.
You want to do that
it's
one?
Less fun.
Yeah.
It's less fun and it's more like a good and obvious question, but I think we need to talk about
it on the podcast.
So this question, I'll keep the guy anonymous.
So many DMs that it's so hard.
It's all automated DMs from the Mary thing.
Oh,
so
I see.
I can't find. Okay, here it is.
All of my DMs say.
Hi, I have a question.
All of my DMs say, "I left you a sum of money. Looking back, we were sincere to each other. Now it's time to end this relationship. Please accept this and let the past go. In the days to come, I hope you can take good care of my son. Let's not contact each other anymore. I formed a new family and don't want to cause any trouble to my family because of the past. Account DR5628. Password BK52136. Balance $2,027,862.
People fall for that.
They
man.
Do. And they log right in.
Hi, I have a question for your podcast. I'm Catholic. We've been married for 6 years. We just had our fourth child. My husband and I use NFP. I did misread this. And so I thought I was talking to the guy. So my advice may have been a little strange for that. But never mind. I'm married. My husband and I are married. We use NFP. I'm currently 5 months postpartum.
Okay.
My son has a rare disease he'll have to be hospitalized for coming up. So pray for this kid. Currently, I have not gotten my period back, so it's difficult to practice NFP. I'm struggling with current family planning because while I'm open to having more children, right now it would be a strain on our family financially, especially because I have to rely on family to care for my other kids while my son is in the hospital. Is it acceptable to use the pullout method during this time in between getting my period back? Abstaining for months seems extreme. What would you recommend? What do you think?
I mean, this is no fun answer, but the pullout method is never okay. Because it's the sexual act needs to end in a particular way. I know, boring. Exactly. this is not a fun. I thought this was gonna be a fun question, but it's not fun. It's a serious.
It's not a fun question. It's more of a. It's an interesting question in that, like, I wasn't aware until I was talking to married couples how common this temptation is.
The pullout method.
Don't do that. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem. The logistics of the pull-out method have always concerned me. As a staunch Catholic, I've never even thought twice about it. Yeah. But thinking about it now, I have a whole routine. I have a whole game plan. That would totally screw it up, you know?
Yeah, just from a logistical perspective, it seems logistics. Impractical.
It's just challenging.
However, it's not good. It'll harm your marriage over time.
Yes.
You might not notice it, but
there's an intense bond that happens during the sexual act. And so if you get right up to the end and you're like, never mind. It's like, what do you think that does? You know,
not good.
To you and the other person. It's you've taken something that's meant to be this like beautiful exchange of persons and you've turned it into an individualistic pleasure experience for both, which.
Yep.
And it divorces the thing that it is from the end, which is procreation. So it's like, here's the thing. You can do it, but is that how you want to live your life? You know, like, yeah. I think Catholics go about it all around. It's like, you can't do the pull-out method. It's like, okay, you could do the pull-out method, but this is what it means. It's like you,
this is what it means.
Yeah. It means that you,
regardless of what, like, you can't just decide that something means something else.
Yes.
You can't, we have a language as English speakers. The word flabbergasted means something.
Yeah.
You cannot say the word flabbergasted to mean perfectly content and understanding the situation and have people understand you. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. And so there's a language in the human body that's been written into who we are. And so you absolutely can pretend you can trick yourselves into thinking that this act means one thing, but it won't. There's an objective reality to it. Also, God killed someone one time for doing that, so don't do it.
One time that we know about.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I would say, I know it's really hard, but, you know, I don't know, like, your husband didn't have sex with you for a long time until he met you. You know,
a couple of months of abstinence compared to engagement. I assume you were engaged for longer than a month.
I just don't understand this. Like, guys have to have sex or else, you know.
No, this isn't a guy. This is a woman saying it.
Well, but men and women too. It's like you have to have sex. You have to. Have you ever tried playing a video game?
Yeah, next time you're tempted to commit onanism,
yeah,
why don't you fire up Star Wars on the PlayStation 2?
Download Crusader Kings 2 is free on Steam. Pick it up. Try distributing the title of a duchy to the illegitimate daughter of the Pope. It's a fun way to spend your time, you know?
Come on, man.
Or you could do the pull-out method. Well, I mean, which one of those sounds more enjoyable? Age of Empires 3 is sitting right there, and you're thinking about doing the pullout method. Disgusting.
Come on, I'm reading a book on the Crusades right now.
Yeah, which one?
It's great. It's great. It's just called The Crusades.
That's an awesome title for a book.
It's like
then you could just Google a book on the Crusades. right at the top.
Boom, Crusades. It's like a 1,000-page like monstrosity. It's so good.
Yeah. Can I tell you about the book I started reading?
Yeah,
it's called Jurassic Park.
No, that's good. That's a good book.
I'm excited. I've never read it. I'm already engrossed because at the beginning it's like a medical drama, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what's gonna happen. It's wonderful.
Just because it was turned into a slop franchise doesn't mean that the book wasn't good.
The first movie is not slop. First movie is great.
Not at all. Yeah. It was turned into a slop franchise. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Chris Pratt.
Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World,
yeah,
was written specifically to be turned into a sequel, so I would maybe stay away from it personally. I've heard it's not as good.
How much Michael Crichton have you read in your life?
I read The Andromeda Strain. I didn't read Jurassic Park. I read his anti-global warming one.
Which one's
that? One was good. State of Fear, okay. I think it's
I got
called.
The Sphere downstairs. Good. You ever read The Sphere?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try that one next, depending on how I like it.
I read Fear by Michael Crichton. That one was good. Yeah. I read the one about the monkeys. I've read a couple of Michael Crichton. He's very talented.
If you just like take an author and you'd be like, I read the one about the dinosaurs. I read the anti-global warming one. I read the one about the monkeys. It's like, this is the most based author of all time. How are we, not, time. How are we
he,
not talking
he
about
was, he wrote an anti-global warming book in the 90s. He was excoriated, or maybe mid-2000s. He was excoriated. He basically lost all of his credibility.
No
because
way.
Of it. Yeah. But it's the only fiction book I've read that has extensive, like, peer-reviewed studies, research studies. Like, it's very good because it's obviously a political book, right? But he presents both sides of it very well. And he has some conversations in the book that are meant to be polemical. So it's like they're meant to be like a debate between someone who believes it and someone who doesn't. But he does it in a way that's pretty cool. Like, one of the instead of like a character who believes in global warming arguing with a character who doesn't, he has two characters who are staunch pro global warming, like, mm-hmm. this is real people. One of them is not familiar with the science behind it, and another one is. And he has the one who is familiar with the science take the devil's advocate position and kind of argue with the less scientific pro global warming person. And it's really cool because most people who are reading this book are that guy. They're pro global warming, but they don't know all the things behind it. And so he has this scientist kind of be like, who is pro global warming? So there's plausible deniability there. He leaves it up to the reader, I think. I mean, it's clear his position.
He supported Ross Perot, which I think is awesome. He talked to George W. Bush for an hour, and they were in near total agreement about his novel State of Fear. He testified on climate change about the doubts of human activity significantly contributing to global warming, encouraged U.S. lawmakers to more closely examine the methodology of climate science. He received praise from Republican Senator Jim Inhofe and criticism from Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton. He died in 2008. I looked him up to see where he stood on like the, you know, Trump stuff, and he died before it could all kick off. He seemed,
yes,
you know, it's interesting to see a popular writer like that be a bit more right wing, but especially with Jurassic Park, the whole thing being like, you know, progress for progress's sake is not, it's not the path forward. It's like the signs were there.
I mean, it's kind of silly. It's kind of silly for the left to read Jurassic Park and be like, I'm sure this guy agrees with us.
Yes.
You know, the anti-progress for progress.
I think after this, I'm going to read Ayn Rand and Julius Evola. What do you think?
I think Ayn Rand is a great example of someone who does the opposite of what Michael Crichton did with the right wing.
There's no subtlety.
Where she just kind of like.
Whatsoever.
I read Anthem by Ayn Rand, and it was just bad.
Really?
The ending of the book could, like, the whole book was a dystopia where they live in this, you know, ultimately authoritarian state. The world, they've rid the English language of the word I. Everyone says, we want this, we want this. And the two couples that are in love, which is illegal, they escape and they find a book, and it changes their perspective because the word, there was one word they had never heard before, and the word is ego. So I in Latin. And the end of the book has just the word ego in bold letters at the end. And so in my copy, I wrote underneath sum panis vitae, and I just changed the meaning of the book.
I'm sure if you know Latin, that's great. But for me, a rube like me, I don't understand what you just said.
Ego sum panis vitae is I am the bread of life. And so it changes the meaning of the book, because it, instead of a book where they find the word I, they find the Vulgate of the Bible.
You'd imagine. That would be awesome. That's like a Canticle for Leibowitz type beat.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be sick.
It'd be cool.
Let's go on to the next question. That's a little bit about, so if you're having trouble with sex, maybe read some Michael Crichton books, and that will set you straight. In all seriousness, that person should not do anything contrary to the, you know.
Just think about baseball.
The sexual ethics of the
church.
That's funny.
Anyway, I sent him a podcast to listen to. If you want the podcast episode that I sent him,
what type of podcast are you listening to? It's like, oh, you have a question about whether or not to pull out. Here's a podcast.
No, I have a good podcast episode I listened to. A friend sent me on marriage intimacy in the moment, in the times where you have to abstain.
I see.
It's a good episode. It's on the Messy Family podcast. Mm. I can send a link if you want. DM me on the Discord if you'd like it. Cool. Anyway, cohabitation advice.
Yes. Probably great. Same type of question here. I'm ready.
Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. You're number two, burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw, now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
Hey guys, I need some advice. My sister moved to Oregon to live with her fiance.
Is everybody moving west? What is going on in this country?
Come on.
Move to the middle.
They're getting married next year, or the bottom right. That's I think that's the best. They're getting married next year, but as far as I remember, cohabitation is a sin, even if they aren't doing anything sexual. The fiance is Protestant, but he's totally on board with raising kids Catholic. They're getting married in a Catholic church. He's receiving communion, which, fun fact, you can do on your wedding day if you're a Protestant.
That's true. As far as I didn't know that. That's awesome.
It is true.
That's sick.
True. But it's the only time.
That's
it's only on your wedding
day. It's amazing.
Yeah. I assume it's because your marriage is like this intense grace-filled moment, but then immediately after your marriage, you're still persisting in your heresy, so you can't. it's a sin. So you can't. Anyway. They're getting married. As far as I know, she's still receiving communion. They're going to pre-Cana. I know it's her life, not mine, but I'm her big brother. And then you have the right to tell her to cut it out. You're her big brother. You're allowed to just knock it out. I feel like I should say something. Fiance's a great guy. Thoughts?
I mean, just because someone is going to church and receiving communion and all these things does not mean that they're not porking on the side. You know, don't laugh. This is a technical term.
Disgusting.
It's a technical term.
Absolutely disgusting. this is a family show.
I'm sorry. That's true. just because they're going to church does not mean that they're not engaging in sexual congress on the side.
Sure.
Nothing more boring.
They're passing bills and the bills are full.
Yes. The big, big, beautiful bills that they're passing in the bedroom. I think this is a fair thing to bring up. I think you call her and be like, hey, I know you're, you know, trying to get married, have a Catholic wedding, cohabitation, no good. What's going on? What's your guys' plan to avoid cohabitation before you get married? Just making it assumed reality. And then she has to be like, you know,
assuming reality is great. I one time did this in high school when my friend had his girlfriend move in with him and his
in high school.
Yeah, man. And I was like, Florida. Oh, are you guys getting married? And he was like, oh, weird, man. Why would you even say that? I was like, yeah, why would I assume that you're doing the thing that every human being has done for all of time with the woman that you love? Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely wild.
Can you imagine living with a woman and not being married to her? Let's just pause for a moment. As two married guys, that sounds like hell.
Absolutely wild. I don't even understand guys that like get roommates that are girls. It's just
That's crazy.
That's why I could never get into the show New Girl with Zooey Deschanel. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. And the girl from Transformers. I saw a clip from Transformers 3 on my Instagram reels the other day. It made me laugh so hard. Emma came out of the bathroom. She's like, what's going on? And I was like, it's from Transformers 3 and Sam Witwicky. He can't start the car. He crashes out and he kicks the car a bunch of times in a row. I'll post it in the Discord. It's such a funny
clip. Shia LaBeouf is the best actor of our generation.
Shia LaBeouf is so funny. Emma just left to go to a well-read mom's group. After we finish this podcast, I might watch Transformers. No lie. Because I love Shia LaBeouf. I don't know. I mean, you just call her and you just say, hey, living together is for married people.
Come on, man. Come on.
I mean, what do you... I think it's, what do you think it's, so, okay, so you're making out on the couch. How long before that gets one step?
How long does that last?
How long does that last? You know, there's only so long you can make out on the couch before something else happens, you know?
For real. It's like you guys have never met a couple who are in love. This is the thing about romance.
You ever had degenerate sexual urges before? You have to know what this is like.
You're acting like you're not a human being. Yeah. If you're so like chaste that you, I wouldn't even call it chastity at that point. If you're dating this person, you want to marry them, you're engaged and all this stuff, and you can do that without wanting to have sex with them. I'm concerned.
That's
actually
true. Yeah.
I'm concerned about your erotic love for this person is not there.
Or you have a severe testosterone deficiency and we need to get you to the closest.
Yeah, man, check your ring finger and pointer finger and make sure that they're appropriately
is this one of those like if your hand is bigger than your face you have cancer type?
No. It's one of those like they found a statistical significance in the difference between the size of the height of your ring finger versus your pointer finger.
Chat, am I cooked? And
chat, am I gay? And I read about this when I was in high school, but I recently heard it on a Huberman podcast and I was it seems like pseudoscience, but whatever.
Guy who listens to Andrew Huberman.
It came up on a TikTok. Come on, man. Give me
a guy who has TikTok on his phone.
An Instagram reel.
Guy who watches Instagram reels.
I'm stopping this podcast. But the when you cohabitate, there is an assumption of sexual activity.
Yes.
That's just and it's not even like, oh, the church assumes it. Is it everybody
assumes it. Why would you live with someone unless you wanted to have what's the benefit? It's like, oh, we can share Tupperware. Like, what are we doing? You know, you live together so that late at night when you're lonely and sad after a hard day, you can physically be with another person. That's why you live together.
Yes.
So I don't know. If you're the big brother, it's kind of weird to talk about your little sister, like having sex. I get that, but you kind of got to be like, listen, this can only end badly if it hasn't already. I care about you. I care about your faith. I care about your children. I care about your future. You can throw out the statistic, you know, 50% more likely to end in divorce if you cohabitate, if you want.
Yeah, but also human beings are habitual creatures. And so if you live with this person for 6 months, yeah, right. If you live with this person for 6 months and let's say you're like, you know, you live together, you have these habits, you're making out on the couch, you're like, oh, we can't go any further. And you do that every day for 6 months, or even like once every other day for 6 months.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen when you get married? You're going to start associating sex with something
weird,
sinful,
yeah,
in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really bad way to go. It's when couples get into sex stuff before they're married and they're trying to be good and holy Catholics, and then they get married, they have hangups about sex because for them it's something that's always sinful. You know, like, oh, you have this, you know, like, oh, now they got to go to confession. Oh, now we feel bad, you know? And so now you have this negative connotation with your sex life, which shouldn't be good. A lot of sex talk on this podcast.
That's what I was thinking. This is a very sexy episode.
Yeah, man.
Should I change?
Should you change? Slip into something more comfortable? Some tasteful negligee on the pod?
I mean, maybe for the patrons.
Oh, man. Maybe for the patrons. All right. This one's better. This one's a stinky question.
Oh, no.
Total vibe shift.
Yeah.
Do I tell my friend that he generally smells bad?
Oh,
he's trying to meet women, and I don't think he knows that he smells most of the time. I just don't know how to have this talk, but I also don't want him to keep making that impression on people. How do you tell your friend that he's stinky?
I think the next time he comes over, you got to watch that SpongeBob episode where his breath is really bad and people are running away from him. And then he's like, ah, this is so funny. And at the end, you turn to him and be like, that's you. Just look him dead in the eyes. You smell like butt all the time. You're like SpongeBob. And talking about it through the lens of, you could even do like a Patrick, hey, you know, like you could do the voice.
Yeah.
To kind of make it.
How did they smell things under the sea? It's full of water. You look him dead in the eyes and go, brother.
Yeah.
Do you spread in the shower?
Say again.
Do you wash your butt crack in the shower?
Patrick, I have a question for you. Do you wash your butt crack in the shower?
Of course I wash my butt crack in the shower. It is squeaky clean.
You mean you don't let the beautiful beads of water running down your back just clean it for you?
It doesn't.
You get in there, you do it manual style.
Once again, Ethan's like, this is another one of those things that you never get taught because you do it alone, yeah, right?
That's true.
You gotta get all the crevices, all right?
What do you use?
You gotta get the main.
What do you use to clean? The main ones. You get like a toilet brush back there?
CeraVe bar. Yeah. I use CeraVe bar soap because it's good on my
You just stick the whole bar of soap back there?
No, I don't stick the whole bar of soap back there. No, I don't put the whole bar of soap back there.
You said it twice, which makes me think that you do stick the whole bar of soap back there. You little freak.
I hold it.
It is funny because it's like, can you make soap dirty?
Yeah, it's like, why does glue not stick to the inside of the bottle?
Right, is water wet?
No.
Like if I did put it back there,
also, yes, you definitely can.
You can make soap dirty? Nah.
You can't.
No, not
by holding it in your butt crack, like
all day.
Hey, listen, man, some people do it. You gotta ask him point blank, do you clean everything? Or you gotta show him a couple of memes. Like there's some popular Tumblr posts where it's like, did you see this? Maybe this is stuck in my memory for some reason, but it was someone on like a gaming Reddit. They were like, hey, how do you get that smell out of your gaming chair? And it was like, my gaming chair smells like butt. And someone was like, hey, if you have good hygiene, this should not happen. You need better personal hygiene.
Yes. I think you could kind of go at a roundabout, right? If you don't want to do the direct confrontation, you could say, so what's your favorite way to shower? Do you face it or do you do it on the back?
Do you shower ad orientem or versus populum?
Do you do it once a day, once a week? You know, how often? I'm thinking about getting a new shower. I'm just kind of surveying my friends and seeing
how much mileage you put on that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or you
get them a bar of soap. You just like, just make it like a big deal. Like just wrap a bar of soap in wrapping paper, put a little bow on it. Be like, hey, I got you a present. He opens, it's a bar of soap. And you're like, you smell terrible.
Whoa. That's not roundabout at all. That's
just
really direct.
Bait and switch. That actually is really, that is pretty direct. Yeah.
You could,
I think you just got to tell
every
him.
Day, every day when he comes home, you have a bucket of soapy water over the door. And when he opens it, it falls on his head.
What we did to the kid in camp that didn't shower was we threw him in the pool. That's what we did. Mm. We like all got together and we wrapped him up and we threw him in the pool.
As with
and eventually we brought him out.
Yeah. As with everything, you should just talk to this guy and say, listen,
be direct.
Listen, I love you. You got a sandwich. You got a sandwich. I love you. You're one of my best friends. You consistently have bad BO. That doesn't make me love you any less. I want to help you. Is there a way that you can, you know, tell me about what your hygiene habits are so that.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about this together.
Because
again, most people don't. It's something you do by yourself.
I had no idea that you weren't supposed to wash your face with the washcloth you wash the rest of your body with until I was 26 damn years old. And I get acne all the time. I was like, where's this acne coming from? I'm supposed to be an adult. It turns out it's because I was doing that. I didn't know.
It wasn't until I was in high school and we were playing a youth group game and it was like an icebreaker game and you catch the ball and you answer the question that's
it's on your
left
thumb. Yeah.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
And it was, you crinkle or fold your toilet paper. I had never even considered
it's like, you
folding.
Guys use toilet paper?
Crinkling is the worst thing in the world. You're just holding a ball of you're just holding a ball of poop.
Yeah.
You know, you got to fold that bad boy.
Oh yeah.
And so it was life changing.
Yes.
No one teaches you that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you got to figure, or at least if they did, you were a little child. So you just got to be direct. The sandwich method is good. Help your stinky
boys now. The Stinky Boys Pod.
All right. One last question.
Yeah, let's do another one.
I went to a wedding. The cantor was drop dead gorgeous. She sang everything beautifully, especially the Latin hymns. Ka-ching. That's the emojis in there. So naturally, after the wedding mass, we had a small conversation. And then I said, hey, I want to make this quick. I think you're talented and beautiful. And I was wondering if I can get your number. Clean. Honestly.
Actually, Beast, let's just pause if there's nothing else to be gained here. Really well done.
Take notes. I think you're beautiful and talented. Can I get your number?
Yes, I'm inspired. You don't have to do anything weird. You don't have to like stalk her for weeks. You just approach when you like someone. It's very normal and very good. Well done.
She looked at me and said, I have a boyfriend, but I can still give you my number.
Sounds like she's unhappy in her current situation, maybe.
I'm not going to say the word, but say these girls ain't loyal.
These girls are not loyal.
These girls are not loyal.
That's true.
I was weirded out by that, but I put her number in my phone and she texted me her name. I definitely thought this was a red flag. So after I left, I deleted her number. No, good call.
No,
good call.
No, everybody, you got to have a crazy girl at one point in your life. And it might as well be this one.
It's not good for you, man. You can skip that part of your life. Actually, maybe don't. It'll make you appreciate the girl you marry.
Yes.
Whatever you do, don't marry the crazy girl. Let her handle it. Let her figure it out on her own. I just find it really weird, especially since I let her know that she's attractive. She still gave me her number. What are your thoughts? I don't know, man. I think we gave you our thoughts.
listen, I might have a controversial opinion on this, but I think having a boyfriend doesn't mean anything. I think unless you're engaged, what's the commitment? It's like, I only kiss this guy.
I don't know, man. I think it's important. I think he should have followed up with like, okay, why?
Yeah. Like, why would you give me your number? Do you think I'm hotter than your boyfriend?
Like, are you unhappy with your boyfriend?
Are you unhappy with your current B2B SaaS boyfriend? Can we have a consultation to talk about it?
Hi, sorry to bother you. Can you hop on a quick 5-minute? Let's hop on a quick 20-minute call. How's you, Wednesday or Thursday at noon?
Oh, that doesn't work. I'll send you a Loom. No problem.
Easy, man.
I don't know. I think boyfriend doesn't matter. So to me, I would have still talked to her and got her to break up with her boyfriend and date me. This is what I would have done. Probably in this scenario.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm a bad guy. Yeah. But, I mean, but what is it? I mean, if she's willing to give you her number, what does that mean? You know, it means that she likes you. She thinks you're cute.
Yeah.
Maybe her boyfriend's abusive and she was trying to get out and you deleted her number. Now she's trapped in an abusive relationship.
Maybe she noticed that you were a bad boy.
Yeah.
And you defend women.
Yes.
And
you missed a chance to defend women.
Yeah, man, you really did. Hey, is this guy bothering you? Big fedora tip. You've messed with the wrong girl. I love those videos, man. That guy, you know who I'm talking about.
I do know who you're talking about.
He turns into a dragon.
He turns into a dragon. It's so funny.
I thought it was real until he turned into a dragon. I was like, there's no
shot.
I
think it's still real. I think he is a dragon defending women somewhere on Earth right now.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I thought it was real until he turned into a dragon. I was like, hold on. I don't think he's really a dragon guy. No, I mean, I thought he was seriously. Anyway.
You probably did the right thing. Girls give numbers out even though they have boyfriends because they are not committed. Is really what it means. Mm. I don't know if it's necessarily. I don't know if you can ascribe a moral judgment to
that. Or they're just kind of awkward. And they don't want to say no.
I say no. That could be it.
You know, I do think that not texting her or pursuing that any longer was good.
That's probably the smart move. Yeah,
it's probably a smart move, especially because like if you know, let's say you did strike up a conversation and you know, kind of a texting flirt texting thing, you know, you have a little
hello.
Indie text at night. It's you strike that up, you don't want to date someone who's willing to do that while they're in a relationship.
Yes. Because what if the abusive boyfriend finds out and then he comes over to your house and now you have, you know, a big guy, you know, who really loves Madden at your doorstep, and you have to contend with that. You know, you have to talk about Saquon Barkley or you're going to get beat up.
You know? Okay.
I don't know. I assume every abusive guy just likes Madden. That's just my understanding of the percentage of the population that plays Madden every year also has a huge overlap with the percentage of people that beat up their girlfriends.
The Venn diagram is basically a circle.
It's pretty close. There's small outliers, and it's like the guys that play Madden competitively, you know, like they just
have, they don't have time to be
there. They don't have girlfriends.
They don't have girlfriends.
I think she's attractive. She still gave me her number. You probably did the right thing. I think she could either have been awkward or maybe an unvirtuous person. And so either way, you're probably coming out ahead, you know?
Yeah, man. Sweet. Well, I mean, that's all the advice that, hey, if you liked this,
is that everything? Is that the whole thing?
That's not the whole thing, but we're at 45 minutes. If you want to do another question, we can.
I'd love to. We didn't podcast last week, so I feel like doing one more question for the people as a thank you for allowing us to not podcast for last week.
Nice. That's a good little bone to Let's throw.
Throw the bone. I'm feeling good. Let's pick one.
All right.
We don't have any sponsors, so if you guys want to join on Patreon, that's patreon.com/broapostles. We are
Meepinator is asking a lot of questions on this.
We are a quickly growing show. Get on the train now, early. We're only 9 years in.
Arbitrage. That's what you'll get with this podcast. Roommate question from Meepinator.
Let's do it.
My house is currently transitioning between roommates. Happy Pride Month.
Pause.
Sorry, what?
Okay, keep going. You're good.
I texted you this and you didn't laugh at my joke.
What was it?
My friend said that he was born abroad. And I said, oh, well, congratulations. When did you transition?
Yeah.
It was a circle of people talking after an event.
Yeah.
And I said that and it killed.
You killed.
It was risky.
Yeah.
It was risky. Well, someone said they're a systems and an analyst for, they're a data analyst for airplanes. And so I said, what's causing them to fall out of the sky? Is it DEI?
Mm-hmm.
And that got a little bit of a chuckle. And then someone else said, so, and then this guy said, I'm a systems integration specialist. And I said, ah, more DEI. That got a little bit of a laugh. And he went, well, maybe, because I was born abroad. And I was like, oh, congratulations. When did you transition? It was great. It was,
yeah,
it was awesome. It was a great time. I had a great time making those jokes, and I'm so happy I got to say them on the podcast. Currently transitioning between roommates. These guys are so dumb. Three guys are leaving and we're bringing three guys in. One of the guys who's leaving is a focus missionary, and he was the one coordinating all of the bills and is closing his accounts so that one of the current guys can set up our new accounts. I am currently established as guy who is responsible. I've been coordinating 80 to 90% of the efforts for the house. I'm getting interest in the house from getting guys in contact with the landlord, etc. Just the whole process. My natural inclination is to put my name on the bills. However, I work 25 hours a week at minimum wage, and I can't afford it if someone misses their part of the bill. However, I don't want to take responsibility, and I don't think it should be me that takes it on. I think it should be one of the focus missionaries, as that's how it's been done. It's a missionary house. That being said, the current missionary isn't sure if he's able to do it. I haven't met the new missionary yet. I'm like 90% at his first year, so I don't know if he should have that burden either. Thoughts on what to do?
Focus missionaries make enough money to pay the utility bills. Can I just say this? Yeah. This is a They're realm fine. That I actually have expertise in. I'll pry back the curtain for you, right?
You're wearing your... You're
I
wearing
actually have
your,
a focus... Okay. This is actually Emma's shirt on because I don't have any clean clothes. So...
Nice.
Emma just did laundry today because we've been in go mode, you know, the whole week. Moving in. Focus missionaries are encouraged to fundraise about $3,000 a month, which is about $36,000 a year. So anybody who says that focus people make too much money because they fundraise, we're making 36 grand. That's what I made. I maybe made like a little bit more. I think I went up to $3,500 a month, like my third year, which even then is like, what is that? That's an extra $6,000 a year. So 42, you know, you're not making great money as a focus missionary. Let's just say
it's not, you're not a cash cow,
but think about the utilities at a rent house. You're probably paying, you know, $80 in gas, $100 in electric, $60 in water and trash, and then $80 internet bill. Add it all up, $350, $375. You can afford that. You can
10% of your income.
Yes, 10% of your income. You can afford it. And for the focus missionary, it's like, first of all, calm down. I don't think I'll be able. He's not willing to do it. What do you mean? You're a focus missionary. It's a missionary house. Pay the utilities. Be an adult. Be a grown up. You're living with college students, and you're not willing to step. Like, you, if you're the older person in the house, you should be the one. This is the current missionary that's staying. So there's a new missionary coming in, which means he's youngest. So this current guy, I'm actually pissed at this guy because he's the oldest person living there, and he's like, I don't think I can sign up for the utilities. What are you doing? Just call the city, sign it up. No, there's one that's still staying there.
Oh.
So one left, one stayed, and then there's a new one coming in. So there's a second or third year missionary that's living there that could absolutely do this. I would say Meepinator, put all the pressure on him to sign up. He's an adult with a job, with a salary, with a paycheck. You are working 25 hours a week. I assume you're in college if you're living with focus missionaries, or at the least, you know, you're just graduated. This guy's working full time. He's working 40, 50 hour weeks. He's got the money.
Yeah, man.
This is insane to me. I don't understand being a, like,
wow. I had little to no insight on this.
I've got all the insight on this. Like, if you're a focus missionary, grow up. There's a whole part of focus training that's called grow up. Not actually, but really? It's like the human formation part, right. Which is like, you got to just be a real person. You know, you can't just live like a college kid for the rest of your life. So I don't know if he missed that or what, but tell him to call me and I'll give him what for. Because this
knock some sense into him.
This is absolutely despicable behavior from a focus missionary. I'm upset to be associated with this guy.
This poor guy, he's not even really in the conversation yet. This guy's assuming all of this.
I will say this, I'm apoplectic right now.
I am flabbergasted, and I mean that in the original sense of the word, not the made up sense of the word. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Meepinator, for that question. Don't put the utilities in your name.
No,
you don't need that.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Tell the focus missionary to do it. And if he can't afford it, tell him to fundraise more. And if he says I can't, then call his regional director and say, this guy's being a baby boy and you need to
he needs to fundraise.
You need to report him. Go up the chain. All right.
Oh, man. All right. Well, if you like this episode, you can get another one. Bonus. We didn't have an episode last week. You can get an episode this week. Sign up on patreon.com/broapostles, and you can get an access to our back catalog of over 100, 150.
At least.
Bonus episodes, at least our digital pilgrimage and our movie review podcasts. If you want to, we also have our Defending Mary book, which just went
viral.
It's paid now. This went viral, baby. You can go to, you can get the link in the description below if you want to get our Mary book. It's there. It's 127 pages of how to respond to different Protestant objections to Mary. So if you want that, that's it. But the big one is Broapostles, patreon.com/broapostles. Thank you for supporting our show. We really appreciate it.
Love you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.